Amen. Right now, what I want to do is if you or if you know somebody that needs a miracle in their life, just think of them right now, their name, whoever they are. And we're just going to pray right now that God will move, that God will touch. And so just begin to pray out their name to Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now and we lift up this person that's heavy on our heart who needs a miracle, whether it be healing from a sickness that they're battling, God, financial freedom, a breaking of addiction, a healing in a marriage, whatever it may be, Lord, they need a miracle. And we pray right now in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would touch, that you would heal, that you would set free, that you would deliver. Do what only you can do for this individual, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're gonna just finish this off with just singing the song a cappella, I Love You, Lord. Would you just sing it with all of your heart right now?
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to
we love you. We thank you for your presence that's here in this place. We thank you for what you have done, what you're going to do in our lives. And as we open up your word today, may your spirit speak to us, give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit's going to say. Bless this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We want to dismiss the fifth and sixth graders to go to their class at this time. So this Sunday, or this Friday, is our worship night. And I know the bulletin says 6:30, it's actually 7 o'clock that we're doing the worship night. We do this probably once a quarter, these worship nights. And here's why I think it's important that we be a part of this. Because I believe worship is war. And here's why I say that, is because the Bible says that Lucifer, the devil, was a worship leader in heaven. Instead of worshiping God, he wanted to worship himself. And so he was kicked out of heaven. And ever since then, he distracts us from worshiping the one and true God. And so when we come together in worship nights, what we're doing is we are saying, no way, man. We're going to enter into the throne room of grace. And we're going to lift hands. We're going to sing songs. We're going to sing praise to Jesus, who is the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords. And so I encourage you to come out this Friday and let's invade heaven. So, all right. Today we are concluding our 21 day of fasting and prayer. For the last 21 days, we've been seeking the Lord. And so we're going to conclude this time of fasting and prayer, whether you fasted one day, one meal, or you're like, oh, that was going on. Whatever it is, we're concluding that time today with communion. So after service, we're going to have communion today. We'll explain that a little later on. But if you've been seeking the Lord for God to move in your life and in your situation through fasting and prayer, and you're just like, man, I haven't seen it. It's just not happening yet. Don't be discouraged. I said a couple of weeks ago in the book of Daniel, Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. For God to move, and on day 24, the answer came. And so it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. You're like, God, you said you're going to do it. You know, God's going to do it. His timing's perfect. And so it may happen here in a couple days or weeks. It may not even happen for a year from now. But don't be discouraged. God is going to, his timing is perfect. And so we're just praying. And then the best thing, man, Pastor Ray preached an awesome service last week about abiding in Christ. And when we fast and pray, dude, you get Christ. I mean, that, what's better than that? And so it's just about abiding in him and being close to him. And so that's what it's about. So what I want to share with you today, and it kind of goes on with what we're doing with our ministry fair and the activities, is that Christianity is a movement. It's a movement. And so it's about going. It's about making disciples. It's about being active. And we get this from Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, Jesus is gathered around with his disciples. He's risen from the grave. He's about to ascend into heaven. And he gives what we call, it's called the Great Commission. And so this is what he says to his disciples, and it's what he says to us here today. So it's in, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 28. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's the Great Commission, that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Listen to what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, go and sit in a church 1 hour a week. He doesn't say, go and watch online a service from online. He doesn't say, go and study more with this through YouTube. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, go and sit in life groups and just sit around and study and don't do anything. All those things are great. We have life groups. You're here today for an hour, maybe more. Depends on how I go. You know, and great things. It's great to learn, to take in, to receive the Word of God, to be challenged by the Word of God. But we're not meant to sit and do nothing. We are meant to be active. We are meant to go. We are meant to be a part of a movement. And that movement is to go and tell others about Jesus Christ, baptizing them and teaching them all about Jesus. This is a movement. And here's the problem, man. It's stacked against us. Our world is stacked against us about being active, being motivated to go out. Because today, after service, I'm going to go home and watch the Broncos beat the Chargers. Okay? What am I doing? I'm sitting. Sometimes I'll be kneeling in prayer. Sometimes I'll be up yelling at the ref. But the whole design is to sit and watch. And think about it. Our lives are that way. You go to a movie and you buy what? A seat, right? I'm going to go sit and watch a movie. Our church is designed that way, where we're coming for an hour and we are sitting watching some bald dude yell at me, you know? And so if you went to the Aggie game last night, what was it about? Where were you? In the stands, except for a couple guys over here. They were in the stands and you're sitting and watching. The stadium is mainly seats, right? Everything is centered around sitting, observing, and watching. Even if you were going somewhere, like I'm going to go do something, we're going on a trip, you go to the airport, you sit and wait. Then you get your name called, your seat called, and you go and you get in a plane and you sit. And then you get off and you get a rental car and you sit. I mean, everything's centered around sitting. And so it's stacked against us, man. And so we need to get out. We need to be active. The Great Commission that Jesus says is to go. Go. Do something. I went to school in Santa Cruz, California. And one of the reasons I went to school in Santa Cruz, California is because I got in the mail this little thing called a VHS tape. You ever heard, you know, it was back in the 1900s, they had these things. And this VHS tape had a promo of this school. And on this promo of the school, it showed that it was like 5 miles from the beach. And I was like, I don't care what it teaches. I'm going. You know, I was like, that's the school I'm going to. And so I go to the school, and I remember I didn't know a single soul. I didn't know one person, not one person in the school. And I'm in this dorm room on the third floor, bored out of my mind because I didn't have a car. I didn't have any transportation whatsoever. I'm sitting there, and they didn't have phones back there where you go like, you know. So I'm just sitting there like, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden I hear the commotion going on outside, and I look out the window, and there's about 5 or 6 guys getting out of a car. They were wearing wetsuits. They're laughing. They're goofing off. They're taking off their wetsuits, hanging them up, putting their boogie boards up, putting their surfboards up, and they just got back from the beach. And here I was, sitting in my dorm room, bored. And so I made a decision that day. I got to find friends who have a car. And so what I purposely did is I went out and I just started meeting people. And one of the very first questions was, do you drive a vehicle? Do you have a car here? Yes, we do. My name's Dave. You know, and so pretty soon, I wasn't in my dorm room anymore. I was at the beach. I was trying this thing called boogie boarding. I had never done that before. The waves usually win. And so it was awesome. Sure, my grades didn't do very good, but that's not the point. I was at the beach, and that's why I was there. And so we got to be people who get out and be active. Church has become this culture of sitting and listening. We need to break that. Yes. We need to be a culture that's going out and making a difference. We have these ministry tables out in the lobby that are all about serving. They're all about serving and being active. That if you call New Life Fellowship your church home, you need to be active in it. It's not about just coming on Sunday morning and hearing a message. You need to serve and need to be active and getting up and making disciples. So what I want to share with you 4 points today about why church is a movement, why we need to be a movement. And the first one is the why. The next three are some checks in our lives to look at. So number one, if you're taking notes, why going matters. So think of Jesus. When you read the Gospels, what was he doing? He was constantly going. He left one place. He went from this town to that town. He went from this person to that person. He was going. Why? Because he knew that the kingdom of heaven was at hand and people needed to hear the gospel. People need to hear the gospel. I know I needed to hear the gospel. That I needed to hear that I was a sinner, that I was far from God, and there was nothing I could do, not my good words, not my activity, nothing could bring me closer to God, because at the depth of my heart, the depth of my soul, I was a sinner. I struggled with it. I struggled with sin. I still struggle with it, but today doesn't hold on to me, because what happened is I put my faith in Jesus Christ, who came to conquer sin, to conquer death, and offer me life and life to the full, that now that I am in a relation, not in a religion, I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and because of that, I've been set free, and I know some people don't have that, and they're still wrapped up in their sin, they're still wrapped up in their in this life of just being torn down and heavy and weight, and they can't find it out, so they're looking to all kinds of things, and they're looking to drugs, or they're looking to sex, they're looking to all kinds of things and say, maybe I could put my hope in that. Maybe I could put my hope in this. But our hope is in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so Jesus came and he says, people need to hear this. So we need to be active. We need to go out. We need to be changed. And so going matters because people matter. People matter. I love the story in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, it says that Jesus was teaching and he left Judea and he was going to Galilee. And look at it in John 4, 3 and 4. It says this, and he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. If you have a highlighter, he had to pass through Samaria Underline that part. So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar near the field of Jacob had given to his son Joseph. So here's a map of the area. So he was in Judea down here, and he was wanting to go up to Galilee. That's, if you go through Samaria, that's a three-day journey. If you don't go through Samaria, you go around, that's a five-day journey. But it says he had to go through Samaria. And that got me thinking, because Jewish people did not go through Samaria. They would rather take the five-day journey to go around Samaria, because Jews and the Samaritans absolutely hated each other. They did not associate with each other one bit. In fact, a Jewish teacher like Jesus traditionally said, if you touch a Samaritan, you're ceremonially unclean, and so you have to go through a seven-day purification process. So it made sense going around the 5 days, so I don't even have to chance of touching a Samaritan or being in contact with a Samaritan. But it says he had to go through Samaria. And you're like, why did he have to go through there? It's not like Jesus is on this timeline, you know, I got to get the, you know, they're going to serve dinner in Galilee at 5 o'clock. I got to be there. You know, it's not that. So we find out why he had to go. It's because he had to encounter a person, one person. And it says this in verse 6. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that a Jew asks for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who is that it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. And so if you read on, it's just this incredible encounter that a Jewish man, a teacher of the law, encounters a woman in the middle of the day, a Samaritan woman, who comes out in the middle of the day because of shame in her life. And she normally would come out with the other women early in the morning, but she comes out in the middle of the day by herself and has this encounter because Jesus had to meet her. He had to go through Samaria to meet this woman who needed an encounter of grace. Encounter of grace. We need to be about one more person. One more person. Just one more person. You guys are here at the 10:30 service, and I love you. You're awesome. You're great. You're the best. But as you know, the last few weeks, we've been adding seats. We have 100 more chairs on order. They're just back ordered. Some of you are able to go to the 9 a.m. Just saying. And here's why. So one more person can come and hear the gospel. I'm willing to go to the 9 a.m. so one more can have a seat. I'm willing to go and serve in a ministry. I'm willing to teach kids in a ministry so that somebody who is looking to hear the gospel, who may never hear the gospel, and they just need their kids in a safe place so they can hear about Jesus, and they just need to be in a place where the gospel is preached. I'm willing to preach. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to do whatever it takes so one person can hear about Jesus. It's all about the one more. It's all about one person needs to come and hear Jesus. Why are we having a ministry fair? For the one person. For the one person to come and know Jesus. And here's the thing. Don't serve out of guilt. Don't do that. And if you don't like kids, don't serve in the kids' ministry. Oh, please. I know we use the kids' ministry, but if you're like, man, kids really get on my nerves, I guess I'll do nursery. No. If you don't like kids, or if you're not a people person, you're like, I just don't like people. Security. I mean, just say. You know? Maybe some rare occasion you could take somebody out. I don't know. God gave me that gift. You know, we need people serving coffee, you know, all kinds of areas. Just what's God stirring in your heart and where can I serve? So that leads me to the second point. Check your pulse. Check your pulse. What I mean by checking your pulse is what motivates you? What motivates you? I have this Apple Watch. In the Apple Watch, if I'm sitting too long, what does it tell you? Time to what? Stand or move. Time to move. Time to stand. You guys may have those on your wrist or whatever. Time to stand. I think if the church today had an Apple Watch, it would be like screaming, get up. Get up. Time to move. Time to stand. So what is motivate? What stirs within your heart to help? What has God saved you from that now maybe you can be a part of? There's a story in Luke's gospel. It's Luke chapter 5. And it's talking about the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. He's also, and Luke calls him Levi. He goes by Levi or Matthew. And so he's a tax collector in a community that is occupied by the Romans. So basically he is working for the Rome government and taking money from his brothers and sisters to give to the Rome government. So he's absolutely hated. He's a traitor. And it says this, Luke 5, verse 27. After this, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. So here's what I want you to get. We read over, he saw a tax collector. It's not like he went by and goes, oh, tax collector, let me go over this way. I'm gonna use you as an example. I don't know who you are. But this is he saw him. This is what he did. He just stared at him. You ever been stared at and you kind of get kind of awkward? You're like, Jesus staring at this man who everybody hated. And he's looking at him in the eye. And he says, follow me. And then look what he does. And Levi made a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table. So the very first thing Levi or Matthew does is he calls all of his buddies who were also hated, also shamed, also considered the lowest of lows, and says, let's throw a party and put my low-life friends together with Jesus and see what happens. He threw a Matthew party. And that's what we need to do, is like, he knew that his friends could be totally transformed and changed if they encountered Jesus. What's God stirring in your life? What's God stirring up within you? There's a lady that goes to church here. She runs our single moms ministry. There we go. Her name's Jen. Jen came to me like 2 years ago. And she says, Pastor, I really feel like we need to start a single mom's ministry. And she went on to say, because I was there. I was a single mother. I was scared. I was alone. I was tired. I needed help. I needed resources. I needed people who can identify with where I'm at. And I found a single mom's ministry, and it helped me. And so I'm wondering, can we do one here? You know what? I never in my whole life thought of starting a single mom's ministry. Never. You know why? I was never a single mom. But it was on her heart, and I said, let's do it. And because of it, several women are now attending the Singles Moms group on Tuesday nights, where they just get a break for 2 hours. We have volunteers that bring in food. We have take care of children. And they just help one another, resource one another, pray together, and help one another. That's what it means to stir within you. What's God stirring in you? If you struggled with addiction and God's freed you from addiction, perhaps that's where God wants you to serve, helping people who have been struggling with addiction. All kinds of areas. If you go out in the ministry area and say, none of these really grab my heart, come talk to me like Jen did, and let's see if we can start something that can God can use and work through you. So check your pulse. The third area is check yourself. Are there areas in your life that need to be changed? David wrote in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." One thing that I'm really sensing in the last few weeks is this in my life personally, is creating regular times in my life of repentance. Not just saying, save me, because it's not like I lost my salvation, but just this reflection, like David said, search me. Is there things in my life that are holding you back working in my life because there's sin in my area? Where we set aside, either on a daily basis or a weekly basis, this repentance. God, search me. No, is there areas in my life I need to repent that I am holding on to? Pride, arrogance, jealousy. Is there envy? Is there gossip? Is there slander? Is there pornography? Is there wickedness in my life? Is there things in my life that, man, search me? And then you got to ask yourself, like, why do I come to church and be a part of church, but I don't really want to do anything or serve anything? You got to ask yourself, search me. Why is that? Why don't you want to go? Why don't you want to make disciples? Are you walking in shame? Are you walking in, oh, I just don't know how. Man, say, God, search me. Is there sin in my, why am I having this hesitation of really trusting you and stepping out in faith and believing that God will do something great? I think we all need in our lives people who would hold us accountable, that will do whatever it takes to draw us closer to Jesus. I shared this story at men's breakfast a couple weeks ago, and it's in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 2. It's a story of four guys who had a friend who was a cripple. And they wanted to bring this crippled man to Jesus so Jesus can heal him. And so they got him, they got four corners, all four of them carrying him on a mat. They can't get Jesus' teaching in this house. They can't get to him. The crowds are there. So what do? They get up on the roof and they start tearing the roof apart. And then they lowered their friend down to Jesus. My question is, do you have four people like that in your life who will do whatever it takes, will remove any barrier, any obstacle to get you closer to Jesus? Do you have guys, men in this room right now, do you have at least one guy who will call out your bullcrap, who will call sin in your life and say, that's enough? You need to repent of that and draw closer to Jesus. Are you that kind of a person to a guy? Are you willing to have the tough conversations? Are you willing to do whatever it takes and say, my friend needs to know Jesus? Do whatever it takes. Check yourself. Say, man, check. And if you, like, I'm pretty good. Don't ask your mom. Your mom will tell you a lie. Because you lie to her, you know. You need somebody in your life that says, you're not good, dude. You need to repent and draw close to Jesus. And so we need to remove obstacles. We need to remove barriers. We need to be honest and have honest conversations and say, man, I want to bring my friends closer, and I want to be closer to Jesus. Let me share this example here of two people in Scripture. Both receive the exact same invitation from Jesus. One is the guy, all we know by him was he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And so this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you know, follow these different commands. And he goes, I've done these. So apparently he was struggling with pride. I've done all that. And Jesus says, all right, you lack one thing. Sell everything, give it to the poor, and here's the invitation. Follow me. And the Bible says he went away sad. Then you have Peter. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus comes on the scene, and Peter has the greatest fishing day of all mankind. All this fish, he brings it in. If he sold the fish, I'm sure it was more than enough to take care of his family for years. Well off. And it says, Jesus says the same invitation, follow me. He leaves it all behind and follows Jesus. We know who Peter is. All we get of the other guy, he was rich, young, and a ruler. All we get was what held him back. We don't even know his name. Don't be a person that is known for what holds you back. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. I said, God, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what it is. I don't know I'm just going to step out in faith. I'm going to trust God with the rest. A simple process, like, how do I know? Pray, guess, go. Pray, I'm guessing this is it. I'm going to go. That's how I make most of my decisions. I'm going to pray, I'm going to guess, I'm going to go. And then number three, check your stories. We have check your pulse, check yourself, check your stories. Going back to Matthew 18, Jesus came to him and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Three things every believer is supposed to do. Go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe Jesus' commands. If every Christian did that, the world would be transformed. Just by following those three things. What kind of stories are you leaving behind? What kind of stories does your Christian life tell about you? Do they tell stories of faith? Do they tell stories of, man, God is working in and through me, of adventure, of stepping out and doing things, of what God is going to shape and mold? What kind of stories? Or are they going to say, his Christian faith was a result of him coming to church 1 hour a week? That's it. I remember the very first time I shared my faith with somebody to lead him to the Lord. And I was meeting with this guy, and he knew I was a Christian, and we knew we were going to have these gospel conversations, and we would meet every week, and we would sit around this coffee shop, and I would tell him about Jesus, and we were sitting there, and I remember this one time. I was like, today's the day. I'm going to ask him, do you want to accept Jesus in your life? You know, always be closing, right? That kind of thing. And I was like, today's the day. I'm going to do it. But I had zero faith. I was expecting him to say, I need more time to think about it, you know, all this stuff. But I go, no, I got to do it. I got to do it. And I was nervous. I was scared. And so we're sitting there, and I says, man, do you want to accept Jesus into your life? And he goes, yeah, I do. And I was like, really? I was not a good evangelist. I was like, you sure? You want to take time to think about this? Can I go call a pastor or somebody? You know, are you sure about this? And I asked him like two or three times, like, yeah, dude, you asked me. I said, yes. So we walked out of this little coffee shop. It was called Mr. Toots. We walked out of this, walked around into this alleyway, and we sat there, and I grabbed his hands, and we prayed, and the presence of God came down in this alleyway, and this kid, I was just crying and totally transported, and I was fumbling mess. I didn't, you know, oh, Jesus, you know, and It was the most amazing thing, something that will stick with me for the rest of my life, that God allowed me to be a part of that story. There's stories that God wants you to be involved in. God's at work all around you, and he's inviting us to be a part of it. He's inviting us in. He's inviting us. Don't sit. Go. Go and see what God does. I love the book of Acts. I love it because it's just filled with stories. It's just filled with they went, and they were persecuted all along the way. Doesn't that get you excited? You know, they're just, and God was moving. God was pouring out. People were being saved left and right because they believed God's words to go. So my challenge to us today is this. Two things. First, who's your one more? Who's one person that you know that doesn't know Jesus? Who's that one more person that this week you can go and just start to have a gospel conversation? That they know that if they were to die today, they would spend eternity from God. That's how serious it is. Who's the one person you can have a gospel conversation? Go. Invite them to church. Sit down with them. Pray with them. Be there for them. And then two, look for an opportunity to serve. Whether that be a serving here in one of the ministries, serving in our community, whatever. Look for an opportunity. I want to let my light shine so they may see the good works and glorify me. No, glorify him. That they may glorify him in heaven. So two challenges. Who's your one more? And where can you serve? We're gonna close our time here with communion. I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna do communion here together in the worship team. But here's what I want to pray for us right now. I'm gonna pray for those one mores. We're gonna pray for the people we love, care for, concern for. Say, God, give me an opportunity this week to go to them. So would you bow your heads in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And I'm so thankful that you rescued me. You saved me. You redeemed me. But you also commanded me to go and share the gospel with people. Every single person in this room who does not know Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that you would stir their heart right here, right now, that right in this place, right now. They don't know Jesus in the room, that right now, that they would receive you, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would just draw them into a relationship with you. And so if that's you in this room and you don't know Jesus, would you just say, Lord, I need you. I need your salvation. I need to be in a relationship. I don't want to live this life the way that I've been. Save me right here, right now. Would you just pray that in your own words, right here in this place? God, Holy Spirit, work in their lives. And Lord, I pray for those that we care about who don't know you. They may not be in this room today, but they're on our hearts. I pray that to this week, you would give us opportunity to go to them. Give us the words to say. Give us open doors. Give us open opportunities, God, that we may share your good news. Holy Spirit, work in those gospel conversations. Open their hearts and lives to receive the gospel from you. And Lord, stir within us too a passion to serve. Stir our heart to action to go and serve and help others. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're gonna close our